Welcome to the ATLE podcast, where we share information about ATLE activities, host roundtable conversations on relevant topics, and offer interviews with key stakeholders and guests from around the world. On this episode, we talk about gamification in the learning environment, and our guests are Scott Hebert and Jason Ashmore. I'm your host, Nicole Acosta, and so glad that you can join us today. You can check out our other podcasts as they become available on the website atle.ca and on Twitter at @ATLE Alberta.
And I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners, who you are, what you're doing, and what's the excitement about this gamification thing that people are talking about.
Yeah, so my name is Scott Hebert. I'm been teaching for 10 years in, or 4 years in Calgary, and then 6 years now in Fort Saskatchewan at a middle school. So I teach grade 8 science. And for about the past 6 years, I've been pushing the idea of gamification like a madman when I saw the results within about 3 weeks of using it. So the cool part is that gamification essentially is trying to re-engage and capture kids' attention and imagination and creativity in school, which I think school is really good at eliminating from kids through stress and panic and worry about grades and stature and all these different things, as to where gamification really brings in the fun and the connection and a deeper level of learning. So piloted it, like I said, about 5-6 years ago, saw just ridiculous results, and I have been a massive proponent of it ever since.
If people don't know about gamification, I know you have a fantastic website and definitely some book resources, and you're on Twitter as well as your own app. Could you talk a little bit about how you're reaching out to colleagues to not only share your journey, but also share some of the items that you're creating and how it's working in your classroom?
Yeah, so that's kind of been the thing. And I think it's just really good to mention that people are nervous about this type of pedagogy, because even from when I started it, I got blasted on social media, Facebook and Twitter, when a couple of teaching big hubs, like I believe one was Board Teachers featured me, and Teach to Teach featured me. And the idea was just trounced by a lot of educators, because they were scared that there was actually no learning. It was all just play. So I was like, okay, I really have to change the perspective of this to realize that, like, I'm still a teacher. I'm still teaching curriculum. I'm still meeting all my curricular goals, all those things. I'm just doing it in a different way. So that's why I released my books. I did some PD, and teachers were like, you need a book. Like, this is so much information. We don't know where to go from here. So that's where I led to my books. And then I really started to push my social media presence by just constantly tweeting and connecting with people. And then I had the idea at the beginning of this year, once I learned about how to create these apps, I started to fuse together the idea of giving everybody a hub in which to talk and communicate, not having to wait for a weekly Twitter chat or wait for, you know, emails exchange. Like, just go right into this app, upload photos and ideas from your program, upload videos, chat with each other. And it's cool because it's starting to build now. In the first 10 days of it, we have almost 100 teachers from all over the world, predominantly North America, but we got some from Europe, a couple from Australia and New Zealand. So it's neat to see that this pedagogy is continuing to grow. And recently I've made all my resources free, because I don't feel that teachers or students should ever be affected by money. I think that everybody should have a fair shot at all kinds of ideas. So I was finally able to release all of my resources for free, which I'm really proud of being able to do.
That is fantastic. So you've gone through this journey over the last number of years. What about those people who are non-educators or even parents? What are they noticing? What are their comments from students who have been in your class or are in your class this semester or this year in regards to what are their kids going back home and telling them?
The most common question I probably get is, can you tell me what the heck you're doing in your class? Because it's all my kid talks about. which I think is cool because so many times, you know, being a grade A teacher, 13, 14 year old kids go home. How was school? Meh, it was good. What'd you do? Oh, you know, nothing. So they're actually saying that they're coming home and they're just like chatting their ear off about all these different things that they've done in my class. Parents are really receptive to it because they're asking questions about what it is, but they're like, my kids will be like, you know, we'll be at a hockey arena and they're like, oh, that's happening because of this, or oh, that he can't stand here because of this. And they're like identifying the actual things that we're learning curricular wise in the real world, which I think is a huge step. That's one of my main goals in gamification, is to kind of show kids where these things exist outside of the classroom and why it's important. The other thing is when I have people come observe the class, they're often intimidated by the amount of things going on and the amount of multitasking. But it's pretty neat because once you get kids trained, kids take a lot of individual responsibility in the program and they tend to run it themselves. It's been nothing but positive from the parent community, which I think is incredible for my admin and my district. Generally speaking, it's been, you know, really, really positive. And I've had like the board of trustees in, I've had my superintendent, my deputy superintendent, like I've had all those people in participating in lessons, trying activities. And the general consensus that it falls to is people are just intrigued. And once they understand the inner workings of it, are very fascinated about how they could apply it to their own rooms.
What about the data collection piece? You know, we talk about formative and summative assessments being important tools to see where students are in their learning. What are you noticing from these experiences when your students are in the midst of assessing their learning? And then, of course, you need to, of course, produce something on the provincial report card or on your division report card, a mark.
Yeah, so it's not really that different. I just use different language. So I keep my assessment pieces very similar. I might have, you know, some worksheets that I call battle sheets. We still do tests, which I call boss battles. We do a lot more hands-on activity, which I call questing, where they're actually applying their real world or their skills that they're learning to real world situations. So all of my work is written in a story sense. So to kind of double back for a second here, when I first designed this, I was challenged to meet all of the provincial criteria, that wheel that we have. We talk about numeracy skills, literacy skills, all those things. So I was challenged by my first administrator who approved me to try this pedagogy was, can you make it meet all of those things? And I was like, no, that's not a problem. So we were a bit of a lower reading and writing literacy in our school compared to our district. So I was like, I want to infuse more literacy and cross-curricular standpoint. So everything's written in a story format and I'm building their vocabulary and their language. There's math, there's hands-on building and construction. There is a monetary system. There is a trading system. There is physical aspects of the game. There's mental aspects of the game. There is collaboration. There's individuals. There's pressure. Like all of those different things get put into the assessment pieces. So if I'm doing a worksheet and I call it a battle sheet, I take their score and I convert it to XP for the kids or experience points. But I just can take that data and put it into a grade book the same way any other teacher would in any other classroom. I notice that my data states that kids go up on average about 10% from grade 7 to grade 8, usually. But what I really focus my data on is kids who are high achievers are going to be high achievers no matter what pedagogy you use. They're driven. They want to succeed. They make their own notes. They do all the good things that we hope students do. My data is focused at kids who have been told they're no good in school, who have failed subjects, who have low self-confidence. And I'm trying to build those kids up because those are the ones where the schools really need to focus. It's not on the high achieving kids because they have the tools. They have the abilities. They often have the family supports and all kinds of things. So the data suggests that kids who struggle tend to do better in a gamified environment because they're more engaged and they care more. And in the way it's laid out, they're able to naturally scaffold from easier tasks to harder tasks to build up their confidence.
So what's your storyline this year, Scott, with your students?
I use the same story every year. I try to make as many changes to the questing aspect that I can. So the different people that they meet along the way. The storyline is generally the same every year. It follows the idea that the Alberta province being a resource heavy nation, we kind of follow the same idea. So we're a resource heavy place. We have different areas and factions and guilds that are responsible. And through this, in one of our mining things, we uncover this powerful stone and this big guy, big bad guy. So your classic good versus evil storyline wants it. So he captures me. I won't give it up. So he enslaves my people, destroys my land. And I bring in my students as essentially hired guns or mercenaries to save me and my people. And they just follow through this, moving through the different worlds, which are the different units, and the different cities, which are different curricular goals and things like that. And they just defeat and try to survive all their way up to essentially the end, which is the final exam, which is your big boss battle against the Minotaur King, who was our big bad guy at the end.
That's fantastic, because I have been following you. And of course, we've had discussions over the years, and you've done different events, even some TED Talks and teachers conventions. What advice would you give a newbie teacher who wants to start gamifying their learning environment, no matter what grade level they're at?
Well, first of all, that it's possible. A lot of people are hesitant. They're like, oh, well, what if I do, you know, grade one, or what if I'm doing grade 12 physics, or, you know, anything in between? It's possible to do it with any level of kid, because people worry, like, is it cheesy? Is it, you know, are the kids going to buy into it? My argument is always, well, are the kids buying into sitting at the desk quietly reading from a textbook or watching you lecture, you know, 60 plus minutes of class? So just try something. Go for it. If it doesn't work, you always have a fail safe. The second thing is you got to know your curriculum. So I do grade 8 science. If I were to get dropped into, you know, grade 4 next year, I wouldn't gamify right away. I'd have to know my curriculum and understand it in order to populate a successful story and narrative. Once you know your curriculum, then the third step is story and theme, because that's where everything branches off from. So I always kind of say your story is like your roots of the tree, and the trunk of the tree is your theme, which all of your ideas branch off of. So how you want to write your story, how your characters are, how you are, what your role is, what the item cards, what monetary system, all of those different kinds of things branch off. So once you have those fundamental things done, you can kind of really create any sort of narrative theme piece that you need to create. So just starting in that facet is typically the best way to do it.
What are some of the great pieces or resources that you yourself, now you created lots, you share lots, but what are some of the resources that you happen to like, whether they're online tools or they're books or videos that you like to refer to in regards to gamification in education?
I've done just a lot of the creation myself. I'm just a big proponent of Twitter. That's probably the number one thing that I like to use. And I like to just follow teachers there and have those direct conversations. My way of gamifying is a lot different than your standard viewpoint of gamification, which I think intimidates people. So people are fine with doing badges and leaderboard charts and all these kinds of things, but I really go in depth. So a lot of the resources I've read don't address that to the full.
Yeah. So talk to us about what your classroom actually looks like, because you have a lot of physical elements in your classroom.
Yeah. So the number one thing people see when they walk into my classroom is there's actually no furniture. The kids sit on plots of grass that I had donated from a landscaper who does the artificial turf. They actually have like a plot of land that they own, and they have a bucket of supplies that I provide. So there's like a textbook inside. There's some pencils and all kind of your generic school supplies. Around the room is an interactive game that represents where they are. So it's like almost like a picture of Dungeons and Dragons or a tabletop type of game that wraps around my whole room. So I either walk in and I do what's called lore or lecture, and I teach some content, because a misconception is that I don't teach. But I mean, I wouldn't have a job if I wasn't teaching. So I always just reiterate that I do teach, of course. And then other days are questing days. So questing days is when I give them the story. You know, here it is. They read it. They decipher the important, the good, the bad, and the ugly out of it. And then they have to try to solve the problem that I present to them. And then I kind of just walk around. I run kids through this game that runs around my room, or I'm challenging them, or I'm throwing plot twists in, which I think is one of my, I will often, you know, walk in and I'll shut the lights off and I'll be like, oh no, this something happened and the sun's gone. You got to work in the dark, and they have to figure out how to do it. Or I have some like voice automation in my classroom where I can make lights flash and lightning bolts appear and storm effects sound. So I'll be like, you got to work through a storm. And then, you know, it's visually distracting, and it's about keeping kids committed to the task no matter what's going on around you. It's standard in the sense that I still teach, I still assess. It's not standard in the sense that it's traditional in the sense because I still teach, I still do the assessment, I still write report cards, all those kinds of things. It's non-traditional in the sense that I do it all in the overarching thing, like you're reading a book and there's a new page every day for my classroom. So you meet new people, you meet new characters, you meet new challenges, you earn new rewards, you work with people, against people. I even have ethics, like if you choose to not help a person, they might come back later in the game and battle you or provide an extra challenge. Or if you help them, they might give you something that they've learned through your guidance as a prize. So there's so many different layers to a properly gamified classroom that's why I wrote my books, is because a lot of the books you see written on gamification focus on the mini games you can play. Here's a game you can play in your classroom, and gamification is much more than that.
And I appreciate you pointing that out, Scott, to our listeners, that you can start with something simple if you're pretty scared and you're not sure, but to go thoroughly as you've done from top to bottom in regards to inputting all the outcomes, bringing in numeracy and literacy, as well as other cross-curricular opportunities, as well as our Alberta competencies, you're really developing that whole student, not only in your science classroom, but it spills over into the other courses, of course, those students are taking, as well as making those connections outside of those classroom walls. I congratulate you on that. Is there something that you're excited about trying that you haven't yet done? And whether you're going to do that this year or next year, is there something that you're like, I'm playing with this, but I'm not sure yet?
Yeah, so I'm a lot of things that get kind of the publicity about what I do is my end game. So I actually turn my field into a big village, and the kids will like physically sword fight in scenarios, and they have to run up to actors or actresses, and they like have to solve their problem. Through that process, it's pretty neat because they come dressed up as medieval and all these different kinds of things. What I want to do this year is I'm bringing in a group of people who, they're called AMP Guarders, are LARPers, live action role play. And, you know, as much as we think we're obsessed with hockey or sport culture in Canada, these guys live and breathe being medieval people, and it's the neatest thing in the world. And I'm friends with a couple of people who do this in Edmonton. Small world, he messaged me. He goes, you living in Fort Saskatchewan? I said, yeah. He goes, I live in Edmonton. I said, I haven't seen you in 15 years, you know? So small world, here he is, and he's going to help me out this year by bringing in a crew of people. We're going to have interactive shops and villages. We're going to have training facilities, and we're going to really try to create the world of Scientia Terra with like raids and ambushes and betrayal and all the things that happen on paper in a real physical sense. And I'm really, really excited to sit down with them and learn more about what they do and how I can incorporate it to my classroom.
Well, Scott, I'm sure our listeners will be excited to see that. I know you tweet a lot, and there's the XP Lab group on Tuesday nights for Twitter chats. So we'll watch on your blog to talk about that interactive play that's coming up this school year. I think that's fantastic. I've got a couple of bonus questions before I let you go.
Sure.
Two would you rather. Here's the first one. Would you rather live permanently in a roller coaster park or in a zoo?
A roller coaster park. I love thrill rides and stuff, and I have a hard time getting bored of those.
And the second one is, would you rather be able to breathe underwater or have the agility of a cat?
The agility of a cat, hands down, because I don't like deep water.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule. This is lunchtime for you, and I want to thank you. Two would you rather. Here's the first one. Would you rather live permanently in a roller coaster park or in a zoo?
A roller coaster park. I love thrill rides and stuff, and I have a hard time getting bored of those.
And the second one is, would you rather be able to breathe underwater or have the agility of a cat?
The agility of a cat, hands down, because I don't like deep water.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule. This is lunchtime for you, and I want to thank you for sitting in on ATLE podcast, and we look forward to all the great things that you're doing the rest of this year and good success as you move forward in gamification.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome, Jason, to the ATLE podcast. Our listeners are awaiting with bated breath about gamification. We'd love to, one, hear who you are and what you're doing in the realm of gamification in the education environment.
Okay, my name is Jason Ashmore, and if your listeners are on Twitter, they can follow me at Mr., all one word, underscore Ashmore, A-S-H-M-O-R-E. I have been in the gamified community now for about 4 years, and I got into it by getting in touch with an individual by the name of Scott Hebert and picking up his book along with another individual in the United States by the name of Michael Matera. And between the two of them, I have really dived right in. I'm currently gamifying my grade 5 classroom in all subjects. Last year, I was at a different school running a gamified classroom in grade 6, all subject areas there as well. So, and I've been doing some stuff within the Edmonton Public School Division now in terms of how to get more teachers into running their own gamified classroom and environment.
When we talk about gamification in the learning environment, we know it can take many different forms. Can you talk about how you specifically gamify your classroom? What does that mean? What are some things that you think about? How do you really set that up?
Okay. So in my gamification environment, my students are heroes in a medieval time, working to help villagers to take back their towns, their little cities, their villages. Along the way, my students will fight monsters and villains as they work their way through the curriculum. So basically what we kind of do is I have my class in guilds, and every guild has anywhere between 5 to 6 members in their guild, and they all have different personas. They can be barbarians or knights or mages or wizards, scouts and thieves, and they all have different powers and abilities within my game. And so what we kind of do is when I look at the program of studies, what I kind of looked at doing is I gamify my classroom in so that I basically start every unit with about 2 days of me teaching directly about a particular topic. So for example, in classroom chemistry, I spent the first 2 days basically giving the students all the information about classroom chemistry. And then what I do is I take from the program of studies all of the outcomes that I want my students to learn, and I convert those into various quests that they have to complete and work through to solve problems for various things. Might be a better example, when we were doing the electricity unit, my students had to create an alarm system. Well, I could just give them the project of here, make me an alarm system, but what I decided to do was tell them that they had to protect the village children from being kidnapped by goblins, and that they had only 30 minutes before the sun went down, and they needed to create an alarm. Well, kids work pretty quickly when you're given a very tight deadline and there's prizes on the line. So that's kind of how I gamify it. And, you know, students do different things, and I have experience points and gold, and, you know, I kind of bring in elements from other areas. I bring in game elements from video games that I've played. I bring in game elements from stuff I've seen on social media. And sometimes the kids, they get involved and create quests or side quests that they want to do to enhance their own learning.
What are some of the particular applications or platforms that you use for students to either develop sort of that gamified environment or to utilize? If people don't know you, they should, of course, like you said, follow you as Mr. underscore Ashmore, but there's other opportunities to use either ed tech or even cards to really give students that quest, as you said, to dig into the learning. And really, it's them working through those outcomes, not you as the teacher, really just getting them to memorize or rewrite something.
Yeah, and that's ultimately the goal. Like my students, one nice thing is in the past, if I've given, like I use the words preserve the knowledge a lot, like in my quest storyline, students will come across somebody who is, you know, either been injured or needs help. And they're basically kind of the knowledge keeper of the village. And so what I've done is I've had kids create this kind of scenarios where they come across an individual who needs them to preserve the knowledge. And what students then come to me is, well, what do you mean preserve the knowledge? And I explain to them, well, I need you to preserve the knowledge. And they're like, well, what do I do? And I'm like, well, yeah, what do you do? And instead of in the past where I would receive 25 to 30 PowerPoint presentations on the exact same topic, when I let students preserve the knowledge in their own way, I've gone from 25 presentations to probably 5 presentations, like either Google or PowerPoint, to posters, to movies, to animations, to puppet shows, to brochures. There's so many different ways that students have been able to, you know, preserve the knowledge in their own way. And the amount of ed tech, like in my room, I'm lucky I have a one-to-one Chromebook situation going on. So technology as a whole isn't, you know, an issue for me. But what I found is that I've had kids who, you know, one quest they'll use technology and another quest they won't. So, you know, what I really like is that gamification has allowed me to have the students drive their learning and to take risks in their learning. There's lots of different times where students are more willing to try something new because it just gives them an opportunity where they can maybe stand out. I had a student who did an entire thing with a Prezi presentation. I've never shown her how to use a Prezi presentation. She basically taught herself how to make it work, and she loved it. And other kids saw her presentation afterwards, and she began showing them how to make some Prezi presentations as well. So
Jason, do you believe that the way you set up and front load the information and then provide that gamified environment, that students see themselves truly as learners and really dig into the outcomes without realizing they're digging into those outcomes?
Oh, for sure. There's loads of times where I have kids telling me that, you know, at the end of the day, I always ask them to write in their agendas, what is one thing you learned today? And the number of times in the beginning of my year, I have kids who are just giving me blank stares because they didn't feel they were learning anything. They felt that they were just kind of playing. And I had to start pointing out the learning outcomes and the things that they accomplished. And now I'm finding more and more the students are realizing what it is they're getting out of the day, and that what they learned today will look different than what their friend learned today. And that's just because, you know, it allows people to move at their own pace. I think far too often in education, we have put a onus on allowing everyone to be the same. You know, we all start kindergarten at 5, you know, we all then move to the next grade. Well, in a gamified learning environment, I can have students complete a task and then they go home and finish the entire quest and come back the next day wanting the next quest, where I have another group who they need a little bit more time. So, you know, for the kids who finish quests sooner than others, they get to do side quests, which allows them to dive deeper into, you know, a deep dive into their learning, into the subject, going beyond what the curriculum says that we need to do, but allows kids who are potentially passionate about a topic or an area of study to really, you know, go deep.
So, Jason, I like that you talk about the personalization. If kids are passionate or they really get something, they can go deep. What does it look like for those students who might be struggling with a gamified environment? How are you as the teacher, as the master teacher, how do you feel it helps with you to deal with students and see where they are in their learning in a gamified classroom?
Well, the nice thing about a gamified classroom, again, because I've done all the upfront teaching in the first couple of days, it works out usually fairly well in terms of students attending on those days. And then going into more details is within a guild or a small group of students, I have my high flyers and my students who might struggle with a particular topic. What I try to build within not just my game but in my classroom is kind of the ohana, that we are all family and that we need to go and make sure that we're all moving along together. So my students who are pushing through and finishing quests quicker, sometimes if I get a feeling that there is members in their own guild who are struggling with a concept, I will then turn my high flyers into my teachers, and they will then help their fellow guild members move along, and they are teaching. I strongly believe in having students teach each other and help each other, because we can't be experts of everything, and asking for help sometimes can be a scary thing. And so for me, the biggest thing is getting students to ask for help, and sometimes peers can teach themselves better than adults can teach, you know, children. So I found that has worked out well. Also in a gamified, because the students are all kind of questing and working along at different rates, it has freed me up to do a lot of small group pullout or one-on-one. I also have an alternative seating arrangement in my room. So I don't have desks. I've got a lot of tables and stools and floor space. So I can pull groups of kids and kids can move around and, you know, just work where they feel comfortable at that particular time. But for me, ultimately, I found that, you know, some of my students who struggled in previous years in my gamified environment have been very successful, because it more or less works to their strengths in some cases and allows them to have struggles but not fail, because there's people there who they can talk to and collaborate and work cooperatively with.
That's fantastic. So it gives that opportunity for students to not only persevere, but work on those other Alberta student-led competencies where you've got some collaboration, communication, managing that information. How about speaking to those people who say, you know, gamification, you're gaming, you're making fun of the curriculum, kids aren't getting the right information. And what happens when they get to grade 6 and grade 9 with the current PATs or provincial exams? Do you have any sort of action research over the last couple of years to say, hey, you know what, no matter what form of learning, I find that gamification does this for my students?
Well, the last 2 years previous, I taught a grade 6, classroom. So I had to deal with the PATs in that sense. And I gamified my last 2 years. And for me, gamification, again, it brings that excitement. It brings that want. The school I was working at is it was inner city, low income. Many students were reading below grade level. And for the most part, students didn't necessarily find school fun and engaging. The moment I introduced the idea of a gamified environment and that they were heroes in a guild working towards things, and I implement those game elements into school, school all of a sudden became fun and they wanted to be there. And for me, the number one thing is you can't teach kids who aren't there. So whatever it takes to get students to show up every day is, to me, the first goal, because no matter what, you know, where you are in education, if the students aren't there, you can't teach them. So for me, my my last year PAT results, my students scored almost at the same level as other schools around the district. And the school I was at had a 25% First Nation Métis Inuit population, another 35% English language learner population, and those students all passed the PAT, and not just passed, most of them scored 60% or higher. My students who were reading below grade level upon entering grade six all passed the reading comprehension exam for the part A of the LA grade six PAT. So to me, I would argue with people that my 2 years of working with gamification in a grade six, a testing year here in Alberta, my results speak more than enough to, I think, warrant more people looking at gamification as a way to engage students back into education.
Thanks, Jason. I think that's important because we know we're always asked those, you know, we're accountable to particular pieces from Alberta Education. So it's nice to hear that. The other thing too is, did you notice attendance change because of the work that you did?
Yes, even in my new school, again, I'm in a school with where 100% of the students are bused into my new school that I'm at. And I was told by the grade four teacher previous, she gave me a list of all the kids who were big attendance problems last year. And I again introduced my gamified learning environment to this group of grade fives. And I have seen those students who were on the not regular attenders list, they attend, I would say, 80 to 90% of the time compared to previous years when they were under 40%. So for me, I've seen a huge increase in attendance. And again, it's because, you know, to me, the kids are engaged. It's not constantly the teacher up at the front of the room giving them a lecture. You know, like, again, I mentioned how I do kind of like, I call it a memory dump for the kids. I say, look, I'm going to overload you for 2 days with stuff. Don't worry. It'll all kind of come together. I'm giving you a lot of background information to get you going. And the kids seem very comfortable with that when I say it's only 2 days and then we get to move on to doing quests and completing activities and a lot of hands-on learning. That, to me, brings kids, you know, kind of, they want to be at school.
Well, and it sounds like a fantastic environment, just like a working environment. You want to be there. So you want to learn more. You want to prove that you understand or can demonstrate something. It's also fun to be able to understand what kind of a learner you are. And so those are fantastic qualities. I know our listeners heard at the very beginning some of the resources like from Michael Matera and Scott Hebert. We'll make sure they have links to Explore Like a Pirate and Scott's books as well. There's Ed Renlund. There's a few others out there. So yep, we'll make sure they've got those particular pieces. Jason, what are you excited about in the next little while with your students? Is there something that you're really excited, or is there something that you'd like to try that you haven't tried yet?
Yeah, one of the things I've got coming up right before our teachers convention, because again, usually the students here, when it comes to right before a big break or anything like that, attendance isn't the best. So I have been pumping up a special a special day on the Wednesday right before. So I have a very large, what I call a battle board in my room, and it's got different characters and things like that on it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically play a day-long Dungeons & Dragons style game with the kids, kind of a campaign, I guess is what they call it in Dungeons & Dragons world. And it's going to be me basically leading them in a story as students work their way along my board game, meeting different characters. And those characters are going to give them challenges to do. And those challenges are going to be related to what we have been studying over this term. So kind of a big review day slash, I guess, kind of their learning for me in a, you know, non-traditional assessment way. So I've been spending the last couple of weeks figuring out what every character is going to ask, and I've got backups just in case we don't get along as far along as I would like. But yeah, so that's kind of something I'm looking forward to. I also have begun working with about 8 other teachers on how that they can get a game like mine kind of rolling in their classroom as well. So I've got some upcoming work sessions with those teachers. So kind of excited about that.
Jason, I appreciate you taking time to share a little bit about what's going on in elementary and how you've gamified. I think people will have a great opportunity to see some things, what's going on. We'll make sure that your Twitter handle is there if anyone wants to get a hold of you.
Awesome.
I've got a couple bonus questions for you that I ask everyone I interview.
Okay.
What is the best Wi-Fi name that you have ever seen?
That is a Critical Role, as in roll of a dice.
Good one. I'm going to have a 2 would you rather questions for you.
Okay.
The first, would you rather live permanently in a roller coaster park or in a zoo?
Definitely a zoo.
And why is that?
I'm a big animal lover, and that, you know, I know zoos might not tell people that, you know, that, you know, those certain individuals don't think zoos are good for animals, but I personally love taking my 2 children to the zoo. So yeah, I would say zoo. Loud noises after a while would start to probably get on my nerves.
And the last, would you rather be able to breathe underwater or have the agility of a cat?
I would rather have the ability to breathe underwater, because I find underwater to be the unexplored terrain. And if I have the ability to breathe underwater, I should be able to explore the depths of the ocean that like never before.
So here's my challenge for that response to you, Jason. You certainly know Google Earth.
Yes.
And so they do have Google Earth underwater. I challenge you in the next couple of years to maybe do a side quest with Google Earth and underwater.
Nice.
So that might be something.
That would definitely be something I think I could work in.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Our listeners, like I said, got some great glimpses as to what does it look like in an elementary environment. For people who also are following you, there's also XP Lap, the hashtag on Twitter. Tuesday nights is when...
Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Time.
Mountain Time is when people want to either lurk or see what's going on in the adventures of gamification and education. So thank you, Jason. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well.
I want to thank my guests, Scott Hebert and Jason Ashmore, and the listeners who joined us today. Not only does ATLE and ATLE ProLearn share information on this podcast, they also host various online and in-person events in Alberta throughout the year. Check out the events calendar found on the website atle.ca. And if you would like to be part of this EdTech and InfoTech Tidbits podcast, we would love to connect with you. get a hold of us at prolearn@atle.ca and we'll have you on the show. Thanks for listening.